This week we're gonna meet something that we're not really involved in this time of the year. It's really for the summertime, but we get a little hint of the summer this week. We have a tainus of Tzimcha Asiri, Asara B'Teves. The 10th day of Teves is this week. I think it's Wednesday, and it's a fast day. There are four fast days that we have that surround the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The first fast day is Asara B'Teves, the 10th day of Teves. The second fast day is the 17th of Tammuz. The third is the 9th of Av. And the fourth is the third day of Tishrei. And they go in that order. The 10th day of Teves, we'll see the Melech Bavel Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Yerushalayim, started his siege. On the 17th day of Tammuz, he managed to break open the walls of Yerushalayim. On the 9th day of Av, the Beis HaMikdash, 9th and 10th day, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And on the third day of Tishrei, when Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed, it was the end of the Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael. But there's some interesting things surrounding these few days in Teves, so I just want to talk a little bit about some of the background about Asar B'Teves. And some of the interesting things that I've come across about Asar B'Teves, and then we'll get into what exactly, as we always try to do, what exactly is our job on that day. So the Torah says like this. The Torah brings, I think the Sherish is probably from Megillas Tainus. I don't have a Megillas Tainus, I couldn't look it up. But the Torah brings in Siman Tav Kuf Pei in Or HaChaim. He says, the 8th day of Teves was the story of Talmai the king. The 9th day of Teves, we don't know what it is. And the 10th day of Teves, the king of Babel surrounded Yerushalayim. Those are the three things. So there were 3 days, it's brought down from Chazal, but there was 3 days of darkness. The 8th day of Teves, the 9th day of Teves, and the 10th day of Teves were 3 days of darkness. And these 3 days, so the Torah says that the 8th day is the story of Talmai. Well, I'll explain in a second. The 9th day, they didn't say what it was. Interesting thing. And the 10th day is the beginning of the siege around Yerushalayim. So the story with Talmai, that's really what we discussed 2 weeks ago on Chanukah. The story with Talmai is this, that Talmai was a Melech Yavan. And the art scroll brings who it is, the translation there, it calls him an Egyptian king. But the Svarim will say it was a Melech Yavan. I imagine that it was probably an Egyptian king under the dominion of Yavan, something like that. But I have to look up the sources to just to work out. But Chazal call him a Melech Yavan. It's part of the Galus Yavan that he decreed that they translate the Torah into Greek, which was a tremendous, tremendous tragedy because it belittled the value and the specialness of the Torah. And Agav, on that day, a tremendous nace occurred that he took 70 Zekanim, he took 70 of the elders of Klal Yisrael, he put them into 70 different rooms, and they had to make certain changes. For example, one of the foods that you're not allowed to eat, one of the grasshoppers, I think it's a grasshopper. No, it's a chaya. One of the animals that you're not allowed to eat is called an arneves. One of the animals that you're not allowed to eat. The problem was that Talmai's wife's name was Arneves. So they didn't want to say you're not allowed to eat arneves. So they changed the name. And all 70 people were mechaven exactly what to change it to. To change it and what to change it to. Many other examples, there are many examples of the different changes that they make. I think Rav Huttner used to say, it would be a bigger chiddush if they were all in the same room and they would agree. That was the nest that happened. That was the 8th day of Teves. The 9th day of Teves, it says that we don't know what happened that day. Like Kasu Rabbeinu Almahu, Chazal didn't write what it was for. Now, if you listen carefully to that, it's the interesting thing. It doesn't say lo yadu rabbi seinu, that our rabbis didn't know what it was for. It says they didn't tell us what it was. It's an interesting thing. It's like they kept it a secret. So, but the later Achronim didn't keep it such a secret. The Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah point out that if you look in the slichos of Asar B'Teves, you find what it was for. Who Ezra HaSofer, that the teacher of Torah was killed, died That's Ezra HaSeifer. So the Slichas says, and the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah bring our Slichas, it says the ninth day, what happened the ninth day was that Ezra HaSeifer died. Ezra HaSeifer, this is also something that has to do with Golos, because Ezra HaSeifer is the one who brought Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael for the second Beis HaMikdash. So his death was like a symbol, a tremendous, tremendous story, because his life was a symbol of the return to Eretz Yisrael. So his death was an end of that beacon of light. So why didn't Chazal tell us what happened that day? Ezra HaSeifer died. What's the big secret? So I saw Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz says something. I don't fully understand it, but I think it's fascinating enough to say without understanding it. He says that Chazal say that Ezra HaSeifer was on the same Madrega in certain ways as Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know that there's also mystery surrounding Moshe Rabbeinu's death. You're not allowed to know. Nobody knows where Moshe was buried. There's something about the uniqueness of Moshe, and that's, I don't understand it clearly. I'm just mentioning what he says. There's something about the unique Madrega of Moshe that means that his death, or the what surrounded his death, is shrouded in mystery. La'yada ishes kivurasei. So Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz says Chazal understood that we have to also hide some aspect of Ezra HaSeifer's death, because he was on the Madrega of Moshe. So they didn't say that day is the day of Ezra HaSeifer's Ptira. I don't know, maybe by next year we'll be able to say pshat on that, but for now it'll just be a point of interest. There are also some people, and I didn't give this the full treatment, there are some people that say that the reason why they didn't say what happened that day is because the events of that day, the sad events of that day, have something to do with the same reason that Goyim celebrate Christmas. And since it was some type of a beginning of a Goyish movement, and then it was a Jewish movement, actually, that was going to try to destroy and take apart the foundations of Yiddishkeit, so it was a sad day, but it was obviously a dangerous thing to say what happened that day. So they just went, no, a sad day, but they didn't say what happened. So that's Ches and Tes. And Yud Teves, that was the beginning of the Mahalach of the Churban. Yud Teves, that was the beginning of the process of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, surrounding Eretz Yisrael, surrounding Yerushalayim. There's an interesting remez, very, very interesting remez. It's something to think about. We discussed a few times the concept of Maisa Avos Siman Labanim, that everything that happened to Klal Yisrael over the years already finds its roots in the different stories that we find in Chumash that happened to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And every little thing that happened to them had a profound effect, and it was a siman of things that were going to happen hundreds, even thousands of years later, even till today. Just to give one example, before I get to what the Shlach says, just to give one example, it says that after Yaakov Avinu met Esav, so Esav said, Nisav en Eilecha, let's travel together. And Yaakov says, no thanks. You go ahead, I'm going to travel myself. But Esav said, let's travel together. So the Svarim say that that was a hint of something, and this is an amazing thing, because a few hundred years ago, nobody understood what this was a hint of, because it hadn't happened yet. Even maybe 300 years ago, 200 years ago, no one would have understood this pasuk. But nowadays we understand this pasuk. The Sfarim say that this is a hint, a remez, a seed planted for the attempt that Christian or other movements are going to make to try to create some type of a coming together. There are all kinds of summits and gatherings and interfaith understandings nowadays. That the Goyim turn to us and they say, Nisa v'neilecha, let's travel together. Let's battle poverty together. Let's have discussions with the... Let's have interfaith discussions. The main thing is that we all serve one God, and so on and so forth. The Goyim's attempt to try to bond with us, that's a mamash akiyam of Esav telling Yaakov, Nisa v'neilecha, let's travel together. And Yaakov Avinu's response is a very important response. I'm not going to start up with you, I'm not messing around with you, you go your way, let me go my way. We're able to accomplish our goal and our avodah Hashem much better if we do it alone. But just an example of how every single little thing that happened in a time, and Yaakov's meeting with Esav has its ramifications and its effects, even hundreds or thousands of years later. So the Shlach says like this, we know that when Yaakov battled the Malach of Esav, so the Malach was unable to win over him, but there was one area that the Malach did have a temporary advantage over Yaakov, and that's the Gid Hanasha. The Malach managed to this gid, this whatever it is, this nerve, the what was it in English? Sciatic nerve. That the Malach managed to pull it out of its place. It was noshal mimkayim. It was pulled out of its place, and that caused a tremendous amount of pain to Yaakov. And that pain eventually subsided when the sun rose. But you see that for a certain short amount of time, Yaakov was in pain. Yaakov was afflicted because of what the Malach did to him. This is a remez to all the success that Goyim will have in being Meshavad Yidden. All success that Goyim will have in making us be subservient to Yidden is hinted in that Gid Hanasha. And the Shlosh is a few places that this is Nageya, but I'll just say what's relevant for Asar B'Teves. Al Kain, therefore, the Pasuk says, Lo Yoichlu B'nei Yisrael, Yidden should not eat the Gid Hanasha. We don't eat the Gid Hanasha. When we sheft an animal, we don't eat that Gid Hanasha. That's not for us. Because that represents where Yaakov fell to Esav. But the word Hanasha, if you switch around the letters, is the same word as the word Hashana. So the Shloah says, this is not some kind of something that a computer figured out. This is the Shloah HaKadosh. The Shloah HaKadosh Remez. He says, Al Kein Lo Yoichlu B'nei Yisrael Begid Hashana. Switch around the letters. Klal Yisrael don't eat in the Gid days of the year. Gimel Tishrei, same Gedalia. Yud B'teves, Asar B'teves. Gimel, Yud, and Dalet is the numeric value of 17, Shivasa B'tamuz. And Es Gid Hanasha, before the word Gid Hanasha, it says, Lo Yechlu Es Gid Hanasha, Es Aleph Tav, is Tisha Av, the ninth day of Av. So the Shlosh says, Al Kein Lo Yechlu B'nei Yisrael, Es Gid Hanasha, Yidden don't eat on the ninth day of Av, the third day of Tishrei, the tenth day of Teves, and the 17th day of Tammuz of the year, Hanasha, Hashana. That's what the Shlosh says. So we have an interesting, it's interesting, Parshas Vayishlach. We're having this Wednesday, Asara B'Teves is one of the four. Parshas Vayishlach has already hinted already thousands of years ago that there's going to be a day of sadness and a day of mourning for Klal Yisrael, a day of tshuva. Al Kein Lo Yoichlu B'nei Yisrael, Yidden are not going to eat on those 4 days. So now, till now I discussed Asara B'Teves as one of the four fast days. I could have also said the same thing on Shavuos B'Tammuz. But there's something unique about Asara B'Teves that's not true about all the other fast days. It's one of these very, very, very fascinating things in Halacha. The Beis Yosef brings, I think it's Tavkuf Pei Aleph, but I'm not sure. If anyone wants to look it up, I'll find it for you. The Beis Yosef brings in Avudraham. The Avudraham was a Rishon who wrote a Pirush and an explanation of davening. That's what he's famous for. And the Beis Yosef brings an Avudraham that says that Asara B'Teves is such a strong fast day that if it would come out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. Now everybody knows that if any fast day comes out on Shabbos, except for Yom Kippur, we don't fast. Even if Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, we push it off. We don't fast on Shabbos, except Yom Kippur is the only exception. And Avudraham says, and Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves, if it would fall out on Shabbos, we would fast. The only thing is that it's impossible for it to fall out on Shabbos. The way our calendar is set up, it's impossible, until the end of time, it's impossible that Asara B'Teves should come out on Shabbos. But if it were possible for it to come out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. If we wouldn't have a set calendar like we have today, and they would be setting the months based on two witnesses looking at the moon like it used to be, so then it could come out. There's no telling what day of the week anything could come out on. There's no set calendar. So then it theoretically could have come out that Asara B'Teves was Shabbos. But it can't come. It's such an interesting thing. It can't come out that way, that Asara B'Teves will be Shabbos. But if it would come out that way, we would push aside Shabbos to fast on Asara B'Teves. What's the meaning of that? And the Beis Yosef himself, when he brings it, he says, where did he get this from? It's such an odd thing. Where does he get this from? So different people try to find different makairas for it. I saw in two places that they bring that when it says in the pasuk that the king of Babel came to surround Yerushalayim, it says that he came be'etzem hayoyim hazeh, like in the middle of the day. So, but that word be'etzem hayoyim hazeh are words that remind us of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, by Yom Kippur, the Pesukim say similar words to Be'etzem Hayayim Hazeh, Itzumo Yishal Yayim, there's such a lashon by Yom Kippur. Be'etzem Hayayim Hazeh, like the words Etzem Hayayim Hazeh are words that are also mentioned in Pesukim about Yom Kippur. I forgot exactly where the Pasuk is. The Pasuk said, I slipped my mind where it is. The Pasuk, when it says Etzem Hayayim Hazeh, it's referring to Yom Kippur. Yeah?
I think so.
We'll look it up afterwards. We'll find the pasuk. But the pasuk of Etzem Hayom Hazeh is referring to Yom Kippur. And therefore, when it says that Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Yerushalayim be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, so it means that that day of Asar B'Teves has the severity of Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, we know, is a day that you eat, that you fast, even if it falls out on Shabbos. So since Yom Kippur is a day that we fast, even if it falls out on Shabbos, so if Asar B'Teves falls out on Shabbos and has the same words, we also fast. That's a good source. It's not a good explanation. It's a good source. The other thing that I saw is also from Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz works out, and he does this in a lot of different areas. He works out what days of the week different things happened in. And he makes a cheshbon. You could look it up. I think it's a Drush Yud Gimel. He makes a cheshbon that if you follow, he had certain simanim in the Pesukim, that if you follow the simanim, this happened on this day of the week, and then a year later, how many days off is it, and so on. He works it out that the actual siege of Yerushalayim actually did happen on Shabbos. It was that year, Asar B'Teves was actually Shabbos. It was before the Zet calendar. And that year, Asar B'Teves was, the Chassam Sofer says the same thing. Also an interesting source, but also still lacking an explanation. But what is it about Asar B'Teves that's so powerful that we push aside Shabbos? So some of the Mefarshim say that it's because it's the first one. Because even though, let's say, Tisha B'Av is a day that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which is a much more severe, catastrophic day, Shavuos B'Tammuz, the Goyim actually entered Yerushalayim. It's a very catastrophic day. And Asar B'Teves, they didn't even come into Yerushalayim. They just surrounded the city. But still, it was the beginning. It was the beginning of the end. You found it? Is that referring to Yom Kippur?
I think so.
All right, let me look at it after. Okay. Here it is. It's on the next page. Ach be'esr la'chodesh ha'shvi az yom ha'kippurim hu. That's the shkayach. So this is the pshat that the Mefarshim give. The Mefarshim say that the reason why Asar B'Teves is so powerful that it's Deicha Shabbos is because it was the beginning of the end. Now, I have to say that I was not satisfied with that answer. First of all, I'm not sure exactly what it means. It was the beginning of the end, but still the beginning of the end is still not as bad as the end of the end. That's first of all. And second of all, there's a lot of other ways to have a severity in a fast day. It could start the night before. We could not wear shoes. There's a lot of other ways to have a severity in a fast day. That the severity of the fast day should express itself in fasting even on Shabbos, that needs explanation. Why specifically in that way should the severity of the fast day express itself? So I saw Chassam Sofer, I'm going to quote a different part of Chassam Sofer in a few minutes, but I saw Chassam Sofer, and I think at least it's a start to understand this, and it brings out a little bit how important the Asar B'Teves is. There's a halacha that we know that a goy that keeps Shabbos is chayav misa. A goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Even someone, let's say, who's converting, someone who's becoming a ger, until he actually becomes a ger, he's not allowed to keep a single Shabbos. A goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Why can't a goy keep Shabbos? Because Shabbos represents the culmination of this world. Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Shabbos represents, just like the week is six work days, and then we rest on Shabbos. Shabbos represents, after all the work of this world, all the hard work, ultimately, our being with Hashem, getting the schar of Hashem, sitting down by the table with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and getting the schar. Me'ein olam haba. That's what Shabbos represents. And the world was created for Yidden. That's why the world was created. Bishvil Yisrael Shanikur Reishis. The world was created for Klal Yisrael. And since the purpose of the Bria was for Klal Yisrael, so they're the ones that are going to be sitting there in the end of time. They're the ones that are going to be sitting there by that ultimate, tremendous Shabbos table. I always say the mashal, imagine it's someone's 10th anniversary, and he invites out his wife for a dinner for their anniversary. And he picks a very, very nice restaurant, a very quiet restaurant. He comes to the restaurant. They light candles by the table. They're being served an entree. And suddenly his best friend shows up and sits down by the table. He's like, what are you doing here? He's like, it's your 10th anniversary. I also wanted to join. Like, this is between me and my wife. It's like, the more the merrier, you know? I'm here too. It spoils the whole party. A person, it's his 10th anniversary. A person's going to have a special suitor with his wife. Don't you show up to that. I like you very much. Please don't show up to that dinner. That's Goyshe Shavas. That's a goy keeping Shabbos. This is between us and Hashem. We like you very much, but this is between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a special intimate time between Hashem and His nation. You don't belong there. Goyshe Shavas, Chayav Misa. What happens if Klal Yisrael does Averus? What happens if Klal Yisrael turns away from Hashem? If Klal Yisrael focuses on this world and doesn't focus on the next world? If Klal Yisrael focuses on indulging themselves and distracting themselves with everything that's distracting about this world, and doesn't allow themselves to be pulled towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then they're not roy to be on that ultimate Shabbos table. They're not roy for that. Then what's going to happen? The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to start making things difficult for us. He's going to destroy our Beis HaMikdash. He's going to send us into Golus. He's going to do things to make things difficult for us so that we'll wake up, so that we'll be purified, and so that ultimately we'll be able to come back and be Hashem's special nation again. We're always Hashem's special nation, but sometimes it's on the surface, sometimes it's below the surface. So when we turn away, Chas Hashem, when we turn away from Hashem, if Hashem would leave the situation that way, there would be no Shabbos. There would be no ultimately sitting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're off. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let us get off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that if we go off, He pulls us back on again, even if it's painful. Fast days, which represent Yisur, very difficult things that we went through, that's part of the path towards returning to Hashem. Every difficult day that we have is a step closer to Hashem. What's a better example than the famous story of Rabbi Akiva seeing a fox come out of the place of the Kodesh Kadashim on a destroyed Beis HaMikdash, and Rabbi Akiva laughs. And the Rabbi Gamliel says, what are you laughing for? It's a terrible, terrible thing. There are animals roaming around in the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva says, now that this happened, now the Geula could come. Hashem fulfilled his threat, and Hashem fulfilled his punishment, and now that we suffered so much, so now the light could come, that comes at the end of the night. So the Mahalach of fast days, one more difficult than the next, is a little bit, it's a purifying experience for Yidden. It brings us back closer to Hashem again. Right after Tisha B'Av, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, we know that Mashiach is coming. Asara B'Teves is before it all starts. Asara B'Teves is, at the end, Klal Yisrael is going down and down and down and down and down, and Hashem didn't yet start the Yisurim. At that point, there's no Shabbos. At that point, there's no future for Klal Yisrael. It's only after the Tzaras start. It's an interesting, it's an ironic thing. It's after the Tzaras start, that's when we belong on that Shabbos table. If Hashem will let us continue to drift, we're never going to find ourselves back on that Shabbos table with Hashem. So the day that begins that cycle is a day that's Doicha Shabbos. To teach us that if we're not going to have these fast days, if we're not going to have these difficulties, we're not going to have Shabbos. We're not going to have that ultimate being together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's dafka on the first day. Before the pain starts, before the Yisurah starts, before Hashem reaches out with His stick, you're lost. Baruch Hashem, Hashem cares enough about us to hurt us and to bring us back to the Shabbos table. And that's why the day of Asara B'Teves is a day that theoretically could be Daicha Shabbos, but at the same time, it will never happen. It will never happen that Asara B'Teves is Daicha Shabbos. Because the reality is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us back close to Him, and we're never going to be pushed off that Shabbos table. So in the halacha, the message is there. But in actuality, we never miss a Shabbos because of Asara B'Teves. Because in reality, we're always right to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never pushes us away. But the message that without these days you're going to be pushed away is in the halacha, that if it would come out that way, we would be Daicha Shabbos. It won't. It's never going to happen. But learn that halacha carefully. Okay, so I want to say over a small piece of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, it seems, I'm not sure why, maybe somebody knows why. The Chassam Sofer used to give a drasha, it seems, very often on Ches Teves. So there's a drasha that he gave in Ches Teves, Tuf Kuf Tzadik Tes, is I think 1839. And he gave a drush on Ches Teves, and it was just like this year, the Ches Teves comes out in the week of Parshas Vayechi, that's what it came out that year. And he said then on Ches Teves, he said a very, very big kasha. It says in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, in the Sefer Torah, in every parsha, between different parshas, there's a space between the parshas, a certain amount of letter space. Between the end of Parshas Vayigash and the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, there's no space. What? Yeah, but I'm saying instead of the samach or the pei, instead of the, it's a space of the next sentence, not a new inyan. So Chazal say the reason that it's closed up, the reason that there's no broad space, is because at the time that Yaakov died, the eyes and the hearts of Klal Yisrael were closed up because of the pain, because of the tzara of the shibud. Question is that when Yaakov died, there was no Shibud. Chazal tell us that until as long as any one of the Shvatim were alive, Klal Yisrael had no work to do in Mitzrayim. That's what Chazal say. So when Yaakov died, nothing changed. So what are you saying, that as soon as Yaakov died, the eyes and the hearts of Yidden were closed up because of the hard work? There was no hard work. Life went on as usual. Without Yaakov, but life went on. It was when the Shvatim died. That's when it started. Havon Nischak Maloi, the beginning of Parashas Shemois, starting the hard work. The Chassam Sofer answers it, and to me, it shook me to see the answer, and that's why I want to share it with you. And he connects it to this week. And if you look in Parashas B'chukaisai in the beginning, it says all the brachas that Hashem will do to us before the Teichecha. All the brachas, some of these brachas are such big brachas, they haven't happened yet. It's only going to happen when Mashiach comes. There's going to be rain and bracha, and your enemies won't come near you. There'll be shalom ba'aretz, and there'll be plenty of food, and I'll be with you, and v'salachti b'seichechem, I'll be with you. Unbelievable, one bracha greater than the next. And at the end of all those brachas, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Chav Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, I am Hashem your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim, where you were slaves, v'eshbar moitais ulchem, and I will break the rods of your yoke. I'll break your yoke. What yoke? You just said you're going to chase my enemies away. It's going to be peaceful, plentiful, food, Rabbeinu Shalom, everything. Oh, and in addition to that, I'm also going to break your yoke. What yoke? We're finished with the yoke. We already chased the goyim away. What yoke? That's Chassam Sofer's kasha. Chassam Sofer says something, it's mamish, a very, very, very powerful lesson. He says, someone wants to be a good Jew. He wants to be a Yehudi kosher, he says. He wants to be a good Jew. He has to eat kosher. Can't go to certain places. Can't do certain things. He brings a whole list of things. He has to have payas. He can't cut off his payas. He has to not shave with a razor. He has to not go to places that are asked to go to. He has to eat kosher. All those things. He wants to be a good Jew. It's very restrictive. It's very, very restrictive. You can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. It's very, very, very restrictive. It's a big oil. What's the answer? Why is it not an oil? Because someone who serves Hashem with simcha, someone who serves Hashem with the realization that the best I can ask for in life, the most incredible, satisfying form of existence in this world is the life of serving Hashem, is the life of listening to Hashem's mitzvahs, is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows better than me what's good for me. And if Hashem says don't eat this, that's not good for me. And I don't want to eat it because it's not good for me, then it's not a yoke anymore. It's not a yoke to keep Yiddishkeit. That's what I want. It's like a guy becomes elected president, so there are things he can't do anymore. Because now he's the president. But he's the president. He doesn't want to do those things. He got elected. He has a certain position now. When Yid looks at his Avodas Hashem, not like, okay, look, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. He's the God. He's going to punish me if I do something bad. I better listen to him. Okay, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. That's very, very difficult. But if a person focuses in on his neshama, on this is the best thing for me, this is where I'm going to have nachas and happiness and menucha and olam haba and a type of satisfaction in life that I could not possibly have had if I go just jumping around to be like a goy, if I go imitating goyim. If that's my attitude, then it takes the yoke of the yoke of Yiddishkeit is not there anymore. I don't have a yoke. I don't have a yoke anymore. It's the most beautiful, wonderful thing. Abul Chalila v'chas, ein ze oil kaveh. This is not a heavy oil. Ki im simcha v'chedva. It's a joy and a happiness. Ashreinu matayv chelkeinu. How fortunate we are. Shalai sam chelkeinu min hatayim v'hashaytim. That he didn't make us live like the foolish people. That's the last thing in the brachas before the teichacha. I'm going to send out the goyim, and you're going to be able to have a lot of food, and you're going to be able to serve Hashem properly, and I'm going to break the yoke. I'm going to break the yoke, even of your avodas Hashem. Even of your serving Hashem, I'm going to break the yoke. It's not going to be a yoke anymore. You're going to be so connected to Yiddishkeit. There's going to be such a burning spark inside of you that it's not going to be a yoke. You're not going to feel it's schwer to be a Yid, the yoke of Yiddishkeit. It's so hard. You're not going to feel that. You're going to feel so lucky and so fortunate and so happy to be a Yid. But Eshbar Moitais Ulchem. So the Chassam Sofer says that when a big gadol is around, when a big tzaddik is around, everybody who's had that opportunity to be with a big tzaddik or a big Talmud Chacham knows that you just feel so lucky to be a Yid when you're around such a person. You just feel so happy, so focused. It just makes you feel so much higher, just a step higher than everybody else, than the world at large. But when you're not around a big tzaddik, when you're not around a teacher, a rebbe, when you're not around, let's say, a makim taira, so then you lose that inner spark, that inner connection. And then even if you stay faithful, even if you stay connected, it's a very big weight. It's very difficult. That's what happened when Yaakov Avinu died. He said 100%, as long as any of the shvatim were alive, the Yidden didn't do anything they shouldn't do. And the male of the Shibud, the actual Shibud, he connects how they were acting to the Shibud. They didn't go where they shouldn't go, and they didn't do what they shouldn't do, and therefore the Shibud didn't start. There was no Shibud. But from the time that Yaakov Avinu died until the Shvatim died, they were walking the walk. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to do. And therefore they were being treated exactly the way they were supposed to be treated. But their heart wasn't in it. Because they didn't have that role model of Yaakov Avinu, they're pulling them up. And if their heart wasn't in it, it was nistimu einayim v'libam. Then they felt the weight. Oh, it's so hard to be a Jew. When you're not inspired, then the weight comes down. So I'm thinking like this. when Noach became drunk, so it says, I'm going to go in another few minutes, I'm sorry, another 3-4 minutes, I think. It says that Vayigal b'soich Oloi, it says that he revealed himself in his tent. Noach took off his clothing when he became drunk. But the word Vayigal also comes from the Sherish of Golos. It means when he became drunk, he was in Golos. What's the Golos? So the Maral says that everyone is connected to their neshama, to their seichel. And when a person is drunk, he doesn't have his wits about him, so he's detached from his source. So it's like he's in Golos, he's not attached to his source anymore. So that means that the whole concept of Golos is, I'm not attached to my source anymore. I'm not attached to my sherish anymore. I belong, let's say, in this country, in this place, and I was detached from my source. That's Golos, that's exile. And we know that Hashem treats us 100% Mida Keneged Mida. Hashem treats us an exact reflection of the way that we act. So therefore it stands to reason that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decree Golos on us is because there's a Golos going on inside of us. And that Golos is that we're not attached. We're not attached to the source. We're not connected. We're doing the things, even let's say we're doing the things we're supposed to do, but we're not connected. And I think this is a specifically Asara B'Teves concept. Because Asara B'Teves represents, they weren't in Golos yet, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed yet, Nebuchadnezzar was outside Yerushalayim. But the life, you look at Rosh Hashanah Hirsch, has the whole description of what Yerushalayim life was like then. There was a booming life going on inside Yerushalayim. So reflect that to us. Reflect that. Let's look at the Mida Keneged Mida of when I didn't do any Averis yet. I didn't go off the Derech. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm doing everything the way I'm supposed to do, but I'm not attached anymore. And that's the beginning of the end. I'm not attached to my Sherish. I'm not connected to my Yiddishkeit in an emotional way. I don't identify with my Neshama. I do it because that's what I got to do. But it's not pouring life into me. I'm not plugged in. So I'm doing what I have to do, but I'm not plugged in. Okay, I kept Shabbos. I didn't do Avodah Zarah. I davened in the morning, but I wasn't plugged in. The electricity wasn't there. Cain was sent into Golos. Cain was sent into Golos because he killed Hevel. He was sent into Golos. He was detached. He roamed around, Cain. What was the beginning of Cain's chet? The beginning of Cain's chet was that he brought a carbon to Hashem, but not such a good one. He wasn't so enthusiastic about it. The Sfarim say that the level, the beauty of what you bring to Hashem shows which part of your neshama it's coming from. If you bring the most beautiful thing you have, the most beautiful carbon you have to Hashem, so it's coming from the most inner beautiful part of your neshama. If you just happen to find something, you know, sometimes, you didn't pick it, and you know, like someone, the difference between someone who spends a few hours before Sukkot picking out a nice esrog, and someone who says, oh my goodness, it's 10 minutes to Sukkot, I didn't get an esrog yet, and runs in and says, give me any esrog you have. One is being picked out with his whole neshama, and one is just the agav, in his preparations for Yantif. He has to put up the chicken, get an esrog, you know, it's part of his preparations for Yantif. Cain, he brought a carbon to Hashem, but it wasn't from his essence. It wasn't, he didn't spend time that it should be the most beautiful carbon. And what ultimately happened was Golos. He was sent out into Golos. He detached himself. So he was detached. And Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz also makes a cheshbon and others. The day that Cain was sent down into Golos was Asara B'Teves. One more remez, if you allow me. One more remez to the, what I think is the avoid of Asara B'Teves is in the Slichas. I saw that it was in the Slichas, and I was wondering if there's any source to it, and I found that there is. It says in the Slichas a certain phrase, and we know to be wary of thinking that the people who wrote Tfilas were poets. So we know we have to pick up on every phrase. So it says, "May Esu Dachu v'Holchu Imi Keri." From the time that the Klal Yisrael stopped serving Hashem with their neshama, Holchu Imi Keri means that they agav by chance. like I'm describing now, okay, I have to go to shul, was without their neshama, hayu halaych v'chasar, it got worse and worse, the situation, ad ha-chaydash ha-asiri, until the 10th month, which is the month of Tevis. Where does it say those words, hayu halaych v'chasar ad ha-chaydash ha-asiri? This payah didn't make it up. It's by the Mabel. It says by the Mabel that after Noach opened up the teva, there was still tons of water on the earth, and it was hayu halaych v'chasar. The water went less and less and less. Ad ha-chaydash ha-asiri, which over there does not mean Tevis agav. And says, Ba'asiri, in the 10th month, Be'echad Lachaydish, on the first day of the month, Niru Rashi Ha'arim. But if you think about it, it says over there that it was going down and down until the 10th month, Ba'asiri. Ad Ha'chaydish Ha'asiri, Ba'asiri. Which in Pashav Shah means until the 10th month, and then it's the beginning of the next sentence. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, but if you read it the way this Hayat is reading it, it was going getting worse and worse until the 10th month, on the 10th day. The 10th of the 10th. So it's just a coincidence. It flowed out of his pen. The words from the Mabel, exactly. We don't buy it. I looked around. I found Chazal Taka say very cryptic words. Ad Chaydash Asiri. This is talking about the month of Teves, that their tragedies come to Klal Yisrael. So I think that it could be the remez there is like this. It says in Chazal that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the lower waters and the upper waters, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the Shemayim. So now we have upper waters and lower waters. It says in Chazal that the lower waters started crying. And they said, Anan be'inan lemihavi kamei malka, we want to be close to Hashem. The lower waters cried out to Hashem, why'd you separate us? The upper waters, they get to be right next to you, and we're separated down into this world. Anan be'inan lemihavi kamei, we want to be close to Hashem. From then on, I don't have time now to show you all the places. From then on, water came to represent cheshek, desire. It could be used properly or improperly. Water came to represent cheshek, because the first reaction of the waters when they were separated from Hashem is, one second, we want to be close to Hashem. And what am I describing now? What's the beginning of the end for Yidden? When we lose that cheshek, we lose that I want to be close to Hashem, I'm motivated in my Yiddishkeit. That's the remez. The Hamayim and the water, the Mayim Tachtoinim, which is supposed to have Cheshek, Hayu Haloich V'Chasar, was becoming less and less, Ad HaChodesh HaAsiri BaAsiri, until Asar B'Tevis. The Cheshek for Yiddishkeit was getting less and less and less, until Asar B'Tevis. I think that's the lesson of Asar B'Tevis. Again, Tisha B'Av, we talk about what happened. Klal Yisrael went into Golus. So we talk about what we did wrong, the Senas Chinam, and this, all the things that we did wrong. Asar B'Tevis is the root of what happened. So let's talk about the root of what we did wrong. The root of what we did wrong is that we weren't plugged in anymore. We weren't jubilant, excited about our Yiddishkeit. I was telling my wife last night a little bit the thought that I had, what I wanted to talk about, and she told me she once heard a story that an eagle was walking in the street and he met a wise man. And he looked depressed. So the wise man asked the eagle, what are you so depressed about? And he said, look at the horse, he has thick hooves, he can really run. Look at the elephant, he's solid on the ground. Look at me, I have these little legs, you know, these little claws. I mean, the eagle has claws, but, you know, comparative to even a dog, you know, I can hardly run. Not only did Hashem make me hardly be able to run, he put this huge weight on my shoulders, I can't figure out what it is. So why isn't he making a mistake? You're not supposed to run. You're supposed to fly. And if you spread out that weight on your shoulders, you'll see it's the broadest wings from all the birds. And you could fly the highest from any bird. If you spread out your wings and fly, you can fly the highest from anyone. That's Yidden. We look at the guy and we get all depressed. We can't do everything that they could do. We can't run like they could run. We're not supposed to be running. We're supposed to be flying. And Hashem gave us the capacity to fly, to have a different type of life. To have a different satisfaction in our life. The pasuk says, "Re'ei anoichi noisen lefneichem hayoyim esachayim v'esatoyim." Hashem says, "I'm giving you today life and goodness. Today, in this world, we're not supposed to serve Hashem for 80 years because one day when we get to the next world, things will be good. We're supposed to serve Hashem. That's also true. We're supposed to serve Hashem with all our heart and soul because in this world it's going to be good. Because for a yid's neshama, there's nothing more satisfying than the life of serving Hashem. We have to make the mayim mako halach v'chaser. We have to make the mayim go more and more. That's the message of the root of the churban. We have to stay attached. We don't belong in galus if we stay attached. The Maharal says that if yidin reconnect themselves to Hashem and reconnect themselves to their neshama, there'll be no choice but for them to be back in Eretz Yisrael. There'll be no choice but for Mashiach to come. Because people that are connected to their neshama and people that are connected to Hashem don't belong in galus. Yeah.